Welcome to Shanahan on Literacy, the site where we believe there is nothing more noble than to teach somebody to read. I'm Tim Shanahan, your host, and today we're going to talk about phonics programs. Print to speech or speech to print? Which is better? That's the question. This is what I usually refer to as a blast from the past. This piece first appeared on my website, Shanahan on Literacy, on June 4th, 2022, and it was re-released on July 26, 2025. I continue to feel strongly that speech-to-print is the best way to go when it comes to beginning phonics instruction. Yet as this entry admits, that's not yet proven. That hasn't changed over the past few years, and yet data continue to accumulate on that side of the ledger. For example, Jan et al. Demonstrated the importance of a neurological speech-to-print convergence in reading, something that suggests the potential value of such instructional approaches. Likewise, there's more evidence concerning the relationship between speech-to-print processing and word reading. Other studies show the sensibility of the speech-to-print sequence in early literacy development. I've touched this piece up a bit, adding some history, but the point remains, we don't know which approach is best, but until someone proves one to be better than the other, I'd bet on speech to print as the best starting point. And so let's start this out with the question that a teacher had raised for me. She said, I know you typically don't talk about specific instructional programs, but I really would like to know your thoughts. I had always wanted more training in a structured literacy program or approach. I always thought Wilson and specifically Orton-Gillingham OG approaches were the gold standards. More recently, I began reading about programs labeled as speech-to-print. Proponents of speech-to-print methods claim it is much faster to teach kids to read and spell than Orton-Gillingham-based approaches. Is there research to support this? Are these studies comparing programs based on OG that mainly follow a more print-to-speech approach and programs that are more specifically speech-to-print? Well, here's my response, and I wrote back to her, and I said, you're right, I rarely comment on specific commercial programs, but I'm happy to discuss program research or how consistent with the research a specific aspect of a program might be. Let's start with the claim that Orton-Gillingham-style programs are the gold standard, as you say. Well, to me, a gold standard for an instructional program would be an approach that consistently resulted in positive learning outcomes and did better than competing methods. This outperformance would be demonstrated by direct research comparisons or by meta-analyses summarizing a bunch of disparate but related comparisons. Basically, a gold standard approach would result in more learning. If OG was the gold standard, then it would reliably do better than other explicit decoding approaches in teaching kids to read. Back in National Reading Panel days, we analyzed evaluations of phonics instruction across 38 experimental and quasi-experimental studies, considering 18 different phonics curriculum sequences. Our conclusion? Phonics was a valuable ingredient in literacy teaching, and programs with explicit systematic phonics tended to outperform those that did not. What about different types of phonics teaching? We made some of those comparisons too. For instance, synthetic phonics, that is, reading words from individual letters and sounds, resulted in higher average effects over analytic phonics, which focuses more on syllables, morphemes, and use of known words as analogies. But this difference wasn't statistically significant. Basically, there was no real difference in the effectiveness of synthetic and analytic phonics. We didn't compare individual phonics programs with each other because there were usually only one or two studies of most programs. One exception to this was Orton-Gillingham. There were enough studies of OG programs to allow the computation of a meaningful estimate of effectiveness. Nevertheless, we didn't do that. I still think that was a good choice. I suspect those results would have been a bit misleading. When Orton-Gillingham failed, and it sometimes failed, it was usually being delivered to severely disabled populations, including with kids so disabled that they were hospitalized. It is fair to say that Orton-Gillingham didn't do especially well with those kinds of kids. But none of the comparable programs were ever even evaluated under those circumstances. There's no reason to think they would have done any better. Over the past 25 years, more research has accumulated, and Orton-Gillingham programs now have their very own meta-analysis. That study found OG to be effective, but with rather modest learning benefits, a lower degree of effectiveness than was reported for the average phonics program studied in the NRP report. So much for being the gold standard. Orton-Gillingham procedures are no more effective than any other explicit systematic phonics instruction, despite the religious fervor of some of its advocates. Not surprising, those true believers argue against the data. Quotes like, they don't look at the right version of OG, or I do it a little differently than others, and it really works well for my kids, or the newer trainers aren't as good as the past ones, so they probably studied teachers who weren't well trained. Those kinds of things are what OG advocates say. And frankly, those kinds of claims are not more or less true of OG than of any other phonics approach. If it's so hard to find a potent version, then why would we expect it to be more effective than anything else? There aren't direct comparisons of OG with other phonics approaches, but generally it looks like it works about as well as any of them, and, well, sometimes not quite as well. Which brings us to the second point, and the main thrust of your letter, the one about speech-to-print instructional approaches. I've often grumbled about the lack of evaluation of individual features of complex instructional programs. Research may affirm the benefits of a multi-component program without revealing which of its ingredients were active, were effective. You'd think with all the interest in phonics, there would be many such studies exploring the implications of sound tracing, analytic synthetic approaches, grapheme phoneme sequences, the inclusion of morphological analysis, the use of decodable text, emphases on consistency versus flexibility, print-to-speech versus speech-to-print approaches that you asked about, or dosage variations, or decoding for older students, and so on. Unfortunately, there are surprisingly few such research studies. Comparisons of print-to-speech and speech-to-print programs being one especially unfortunate area of neglect. We have some relevant research information about differences between those approaches, just nothing definitive. Basically, speech-to-print approaches encourage students initially to perceive their language sounds prior to focusing their attention on the letters and spellings. As children become aware of the phonemic distinctions between words, then these perceived sounds are linked to their visual or print representations. Beyond that speech-sound beginning, these teaching methods encourage much spelling and writing activity, actions that require students to think about what letters represent the language sounds and word pronunciations, rather than solely focusing on sounding out written words. Phonics programs have usually emphasized print to speech, just the opposite of what I was talking about. Kids are taught to identify letters, to link sounds to those letters, and then to sound out words by sounding each letter. Think about it. That instructional sequence is identical to the sequence readers must go through during reading. Look at the letters, use that information to generate a phonological representation. It seems reasonable to teach students explicitly what we eventually want them to do. That isn't always the case, however. To be effective, a curriculum design does not necessarily have to mirror the intended outcome quite this accurately. Learning to read and reading are not the same thing, and one doesn't necessarily benefit from mirroring the other. Perhaps the opposite. Starting with phonemes and pronunciations and then connecting those to letters and printed words might be a good idea. It's possible that trying to spell and write words does more to enhance phonemic awareness, and it may somehow make the phonology more prominent or easy to perceive. The possibility that kids might benefit more from speech to print than from print to speech first started to appear in the 1910s in the work of Ernest Horn. He explored the idea that spelling instruction and practice might benefit reading. Later, this notion gained purchase when Helen Murphy discovered that the ability to auditorily discriminate the phonemes in words was a powerful predictor of later reading progress, something she did in the 1940s. And she and her advisor, Donald Durrell, built this concept into their beginning reading program in 1945. A program that eventually morphed into what they named speech-to-print phonics. That was the name of their program in 1964. When Jean Shaw published her landmark review of phonics research, she concluded that those programs that included spelling, writing, and dictation did better than those that did not. I followed up on that in my reading-writing relationship research in the 1980s. I found spelling and decoding to be closely related, even when a lot of other variables were available to suck up the variance. Later, Ginger Berninger and her colleagues improved on that with even more ambitious efforts with the same results. Marilyn Adams and Linnea Airey both theorized on that possibility, and Steve Graham reported a meta-analysis that found spelling instruction improved reading, most likely because of its contribution to decoding. But that evidence is all indirect. It suggests the value of the approach. It doesn't prove it. Now, not everybody agrees with my conclusions on this. Louisa Moats, for example, has several publications that treat this as a settled matter, concluding that speech to print is best. There is a difference between what I believe and what I know, however. There's a preponderance of evidence on that side of the argument that starting with speech is a good idea, but I'm not satisfied that it's yet proven. Perhaps the closest thing we have to a direct test of the proposition is a meta-analysis of 11 studies. It concluded that instruction that integrated encoding into decoding instruction led to significantly higher reading achievement. Still, not the strongest evidence, because it combined investigations that compared encoding with decoding, along with those that compared encoding instruction with things like extra math lessons. No matter where the final evidence comes down, it should be remembered that at some point, any decoding program will necessarily need to shift its focus to print to speech, since that's what we do in reading. Until then, it is fair to conclude that there are real benefits to be derived from activities like explicit early instruction in phonemic awareness, invented spelling encouragement, explicit spelling instruction, word construction from sounds, and so on. These kinds of speech-to-print activities increase learning. My advice, get a phonics program that includes such activities or layer them into a more traditional print-to-speech program, including OG. And that's my final word on that today. This blog will post on July 26, 2025 on the Shanahan on Literacy website. If you'd like a written copy of this presentation, you can find that there. Of course, that also includes the research citations, and there are 20 of them here, and they're pretty terrific, so you might want to look this up. Also, because this was a blast from the past, there are 37 comments that were made on the original version of this, and lots of times those comments carry a lot of good information. And so, again, if you go to the Shanahan on Literacy site, you can find that under the title Print to Speech or Speech to Print. That is the question. With that, I would like to thank our sound engineer, Greg Johnson, and I'd like to thank you for tuning in. Look forward to seeing you up the road a piece.